Hi, I'm David Pogue. Welcome to the RV Navigator Podcast, your digital home for the RVing lifestyle. Visit the RV Navigator homepage at rvnavigator.com for additional information about each episode. And now, here are your hosts, Ken and Martha, podcasting from their mobile studio that might be parked in a campground near you.
Hello, this is Ken, your RV Navigator.
And Martha, the co-pilot. And we're talking to you from our at-home studio, and I'm happy to report that this is not an AI voice. This is me. I'm alive. I made it through my shoulder surgery, and am not where I need to be, but definitely on the mend.
We left you last month with her about to have her left shoulder replaced. And now that we have seen the
video of the x-rays.
Oh, jeez. This is a big piece of metal they stuck in her shoulder because they replaced both the ball and the socket. And it has been something of a trial experience.
Well, we knew that was coming.
Yeah.
To me, this kind of surgery is relatively new, and I'm thinking that many of you, if you've had the issues that I have, are much more familiar with knee replacements, which they've been doing for many, many years. And I would say the process was similar. It was just in a different joint, which makes all the difference because both of my shoulder surgeries were very painful compared to my knees.
And the very different sort of process because with your knee, they got you up and walking around on your knee almost immediately, whereas with this,
they put me in a straitjacket, a big black sling that I have to wear.
Her arm is immobilized for 6 weeks, and there's no physical therapy. We're really kind of surprised at this. We are trying to follow the doctor's prescription and follow the rules and regulations that guide us for shoulder surgery. So this is what we're doing.
It's my impression that when I had the rotator cuff surgery on my other shoulder, there are a lot of small things that get tweaked, where this operation just takes out everything and is more simple from the surgeon's point of view, and you just have to let it all heal.
So you have joined us for the RV Navigator podcast, not the but you have joined us for the RV Navigator podcast for July of 2026, episode number 255. And if you'd like to see the links to the topics that we're going to talk about today, besides the shoulder surgery, which we have many interesting topics to share with you today.
About RVing.
About RVing, exactly. And if you'd like to see the topics there, go to rvnavigator.com and click on the current episode link, and it will take you to a webpage which has all of the content for this page listed, as well as a place to download the podcast. If that's, well, of course, if you're listening, you're already know. Well,
you already know that
the morass of me talking is a problem. Okay, well, we are here for the summer. This means that we won't be doing much RVing or traveling, and but Chicago is nice in the summer, so we do enjoy the temperate climate these days with all of the temperature extremes in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world. We're glad to be here because the weather has been very nice.
And in all honesty, because we've had such a hectic travel schedule, I would say since COVID, we just kind of went into high gear. It's good for us to do a few things around the house and take care of things. So we're looking at the silver lining in the cloud.
Now, did you hear about the RVer? This story is almost unbelievable.
Too gross.
The RVer who came into a Maverick gas station in Colorado and dumped his black tank into the diesel fuel tanks at the gas station. It's almost hard to believe. It was in a legitimate newspaper, and they had quotes and things about from the station. So I have to think that it's true, but whoa, how could you dump into the...
When you first told me this story, I thought it was a mistake of one fill hole looks like another, I guess. But
I don't know.
He put it in a fairly big, like, manhole cover tank part.
No, it's not. No, well, it's not that big. But it's.
It was.
If you were really a novice, you might make a mistake like
not
that.
Not a dumping place.
Oh boy, how could you dump? And of course, putting poop into the diesel means that all of that diesel was contaminated. And according to the station, they had just filled up with – they just had a tanker truck in that filled up with they filled the tank with diesel, so it was a full tank.
They lost a lot of money
underground, of course, and then I just read about the the camper in California who dropped his sunglasses down a pit toilet and went to retrieve them.
And fell in.
And it's not funny, but he fell in, and they had to extract him after half an hour out of the poop. Oh, God. But this is, it's probably pretty dangerous to do that, but I mean, I didn't feel like his life was threatened, but oh, boy. Leave your glasses in the toilet.
Some people have very expensive sunglasses.
We have links to both of these two stories, of course, and you can make your decision whether you believe them or not yourself. Five cringeworthy things you never want to experience in your RV.
With picture.
I guess RVers have problems, and these you back off the end of a pier or, oh, boy.
Or your slide comes out as you're driving down the road.
Yes, all sorts of things. Anyway.
Or you back into a swimming pool.
Dear RVer friends.
What not to do's.
Yes. We try to tell you and give you ideas about things not to do. But every once in a while, there are people that have problems while they're on the road. Well, that's our story. We also have a new logo. You know, last month I talked about ChatGPT making logos, and we made a new RV Navigator logo, which
looks
when you take a look at it,
professional.
It looks much better than I could ever do myself, and it took about 10 seconds. I made three or four iterations of it because I made little changes in it, but if you take a look at our website this month, you'll see our new logo. I'm not sure exactly where I'm going to use it, but boy, does it look nice.
And you had so much fun making it, too.
Well, I didn't have much fun making it because it just was pushing a button and seeing what the results are. But now that I see this style of logo, I see these in quite a few places. So I think this is becoming more and more popular.
We're not early to the party.
The point is, if you need a nice-looking logo, take a look at ChatGPT. Of course, I put in our pictures. If you take a look at it, we're actually pictured in the logo. But I put in two separate pictures, and it's extracted our heads out and put it into the new RV Navigator logo. It's truly amazing what it does. The only thing I uploaded is the pictures of us. The rest of it is all generated. And I didn't really prompt it that much with what to put in. So, wow.
And if you haven't done much of this AI stuff, you're probably way ahead of us anyway. what's key from my mind is putting in the prompts that would generate the outcome that you have in mind, unless you have nothing in mind. Well, you can just let it rip, too.
Well, and that's pretty much what I did. I mean, I wasn't that specific about what I wanted, and that's what's really cool about it is the prompts are important, and you can just keep iterating until you find one that looks the way you want it. I don't know. I was pretty impressed with the way it looked. It has us going across the United States. It's got a map. It's got, well, all sorts of cool things.
It makes me wonder right now, the things we're doing are free. How long that's going to last?
Well, we don't pay, but
right.
They do have paid subscriptions, which give you more.
I'm just thinking pretty soon it'll just be.
Of course. And, of course, Apple is incorporating it into their new Siri, which is going to be introduced in the fall. So it will be on all the platforms.
Play around with it for free while you can.
Now, we want to alert you to the new 2026 trailer towing guide by RV Life. Having your tow vehicle matched up with your trailer, your RV, is very critical. And knowing the weight capacities and how much you can tow is always such a crucial factor when you are driving down the road. We see so many accidents that I'm sure are caused by people not loading their RV correctly or that they are towing too much weight or whatever. And having a guide, and it's free. You can download it. And, of course, where will you find the link?
On our webpage.
On our webpage, of course. You'll find a link to the 2026 trailer towing guide right there, and it will give you some information about
matching up your tow vehicle to the thing that you're trying to tow. I suspect that when people are new to the party, they kind of hope that whatever vehicle they already own, they can just slap a hitch on and call it a day, and that's often not the case unless you buy something really small.
And a 250 will not tow everything.
No.
which is kind of
what better to find it out from this website than on the boat.
Exactly. And, of course, you have to have places to go. And I put this in here specifically for the co-pilot.
I don't use this one.
And she's going to tell you why I put this in here.
Because I always...
What is it?
Okay. It's the Rand McNally 2027 Road Atlas, and it's mid-size. So those of you who are traveling in smaller vehicles than ours can find room for it in your cockpit as you're driving down the road. It's got up-to-date and accurate maps developed by Rand McNally, noted map maker. Gives you things to see in each of the states, points out historic sites, and is updated, which is also important. The roads are changing all the time. The reason I don't use it is it's too small.
You don't use this because this is too small.
I like the big AAA road maps of each state that I can fold for the part of the road
that
we're on.
But this is nice in order to just kind of see where you're going.
Yeah, it gives you an overall. If you're trying to plan a trip from scratch and decide...
So, dear listener, you want to follow the co-pilot's advice and get yourself huge maps instead of using the GPS, instead of...
You can fold. You can replace annually because you're paying a fee to AAA and they make new maps every year.
We have a little bit of a difference here.
No. I like the Rand McNally, too. But machines sometimes let you down, and I like to have backup.
Okay. Well, so here you can have a second backup. So you could have paper maps, and then you could use this road atlas, the 2027 Rand McNally Road Atlas. You could use it for planning trips.
And I also use Google Navigation while we're on the road as well. But you don't want to rely just on that because that's premised on the fact that you are driving a small vehicle, not an RV, and it could send you astray.
Okay. So... lots of navigation help here. And, of course, if you are thinking about getting Starlink as an assistant for making your travels easier, they have, of course, some changes in the Starlink plans.
It seems like this happens every few months, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
You're talking about it every time we make a new podcast.
As RVers, we have the Roam plan. And, of course, right now ours is on the standby, which means that I'm just paying $10 a month, which to me is very reasonable. And there are numbers of people that try to use the standby as their only internet service, but of course that's extremely
slow. So when you are ready to turn it on again, when you are done standing by, what do you have to do?
It actually makes it very easy. And that's what's nice about this is that because you're online, you can make changes to your plan through Starlink.
And they're instantly implemented.
Yes, it is instantly updated, and your new plan starts immediately. What is important to know is the date that your billing is on. Ours is on the 20th of the month. If I make a change in the plan on the 21st of the month, it will go for one full month, and I will pay that full amount. If I put it in on the 30th of the month, about halfway through, I pay half of that amount.
Oh, that's fair.
But not only that, but you get the full amount of data.
Yeah.
which is really nice. So they have three plans now that roamers can use, and I would say that most RVers would want to be on the roam plan. That means that you can move from site to site or place to place, and you can use it in motion.
So in the summer, if you're a weekend RVer, you can't turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. That wouldn't make sense.
That's correct. It's good for a month. It's good between billing periods. And so if I change it and I turn on roaming 100 gigabyte plan anytime between the 20th and the 20th, I will have to pay for it for that entire month. So if I turn it on the 21st, it doesn't turn off again until the next month. So I may as well just use it for that whole month. The plans run from 100 gigabytes and 300 gigabytes and unlimited. So you can decide how much data you're going to be using. The other plans, of course, are for stationary, but it is possible for you to change your actual address and change location. So you know, if you're just moving from a seasonal site, home to seasonal site, then maybe the home plan, which is somewhat cheaper, is a better idea. Right now, the 100 gigabyte is $55, the 300 gigabyte is $80, and the unlimited is $175 per month, which to me is fairly reasonable. Is Starlink worth it? Yeah.
If I'm a weekend warrior, like a camper like I used to be, if I have one of the cheaper plans, can I stream one movie while I'm gone for the weekend and at a reasonable speed?
Yeah.
So it doesn't throttle me that way. It just limits how many gigabytes I've paid for.
Right. The home plan actually throttles the speed, but the roaming plans are based on amount of data that you use. And, of course, it's low-priority data. But most people don't have much problem with that. It seems like there's enough capacity to handle the dishes that are active at the moment. Okay. People are asking about whether they should wait to buy a new dish. And this is another interesting aspect. There are really basically only two dishes. There's a high-definition dish, but basically for the average user, there's only two dishes, the mini and the regular. And Elon, in one of his press conferences or interviews, showed off two new ones, but there has been no real talk about what they are going to incorporate. But it does indicate that there is something new coming down the road. That'll be a Gen 5. The current versions are Gen 4s. And who knows? But is it worth it to wait? I don't know. The systems are pretty good right now. You know, maybe they'll have one that's battery powered. Maybe they'll have one that's 12 volt powered. Who knows exactly what's going to happen with Starlink? We never quite know. So if you're going out for the summer and traveling, then I would definitely get the Starlink now. And all the old ones still work as far as I know.
Are the prices changing for the dishes?
Well, that's the other thing that's really changed.
My memory when we bought ours was that they weren't that expensive.
They're now basically renting the dishes rather than, and that's another issue which you're going to have to address. Yes, you can buy it, and they're usually around $300. But these days, they're on the home plans. You can no longer buy them. You have to rent them for $10 a month. So, you know, at $300, that's 30 months worth of rental that is paid rather than up front. So I don't know, half dozen one the other. I personally enjoy the the ownership aspect of it, but some people would just rather start off and pay the monthly fee plus $10.
If I'm renting it, could my dish go bad and then they can just send me another one?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Does that
happen? I mean, it's a rental, so that
we haven't had any issues with ours.
No, but you're right. If there's something goes wrong, I assume that the rental would be covered by.
Or you leave it on the ground and you drive over it or something?
Yeah. Yeah, you could do that.
Well, I'm thinking about all the other mishaps we've included in this podcast.
Well, probably not you would run over, but somebody else would.
Could.
Because you just have it setting out someplace
on
the ground. Yeah.
And it might not be that close to you because you're trying to keep it out in the open.
Yeah. Okay. Next topic. Apparently, one of the newest travel innovations are sleepcations.
Sounds bogus to me. I sleep the best at home with shoulders that are working properly.
Well, but this is interesting that having a good place to sleep in your RV is critical. And there are factors which definitely impact how well you sleep in your RV.
I would say as a general rule, I would not say that my RV is the best place to sleep in that many campgrounds are next to railroad tracks and you are parked close to others who are doing whatever it is they're doing, which you might hear. So these suggestions that we have here are good for you just to get a good night's sleep
in your RV,
whether you're having a sleepcation or not.
Sleepcation where you basically take the time at the RV park to be relaxed and sleep and make sure that you come back to work rested.
And get away from it all. So the suggestions are to keep your RV level so you don't roll out of bed. close the shades before it's dark and use blackout coverings if your shades don't totally cover
especially
your windows
these days
or your skylight.
With the extended
daylight?
Sunset, yeah. Daylight. Yes, it's darkening. And, of course, this is something we found in Alaska, is that with 24-hour-a-day
really
light,
bothers some
that
people.
You really have to have some way to darken the inside of your RV. And that means the covers over the shower and the skylights and other things that are usually not a problem can cause you to be awakened.
And get the temperature set before you go to bed and how the airflow is going to be. We have had rigs where the air conditioning kind of blows on us, which is not so good for sleeping. So we've tried to cool off our bedroom before we went to bed so that we could put the blowing air in the front of the rig rather than where we were sleeping.
Yeah, we leave the air conditioner on in the front and turn off the one
in
the back.
And sleep in the back.
Right, so that it doesn't bother us.
And using white noise or earplugs if the area is noisy is a good idea.
And almost all phones come with some sort of an app that will let you put on white noise and not cost you anything.
Bring good bedding. If your best pillow is at home, just bring it with you. You don't need to have separate stuff for your RV that's cheaper or that came with the RV. Have what works best for you.
And we have a Sleep Number bed. Actually, we have a Sleep Number bed both at home and in the RV, which means we can inflate either side of our queen mattress to whatever level is suitable for the person sleeping on that side.
And if you're a normal person, you can find your sleep number and set it and call it a day and not change it unless you drive up in the mountains and the altitude.
Yeah, we have had some issues
with
the bed being very hard or very soft depending on our altitude, but that's something that's fairly easy to overcome.
Or if you have joint issues, as I currently do, you can keep adjusting the bed to make it perfect for you and how you are.
Well, and that's a big issue. That's a big issue. One of the reasons why we did buy the sleep numbers for you so that your joints would be
as comfortable as they can be.
Yeah, and you can make adjustments based on your daily needs for a softer or harder bed.
Recently, we had, for the first time in a long time, a fairly lengthy power outage here in Chicagoland. We didn't have a big storm or anything, but the winds were high, and I'm guessing that trees fell down on some of the power lines, and many thousands of people were impacted by that, and we had no power for 9 hours, which you can handle, I think, as long as you don't open your fridge. But certainly a lot of it took place in the evening, and we would have been sitting around in the dark, so
and of course, when we're
the Boy Scout came to the rescue.
When we're in Florida, we have the motorhome, which is pretty much set up for boondocking, so we can go for quite a few days without any electricity. But here at home, this is something of a problem. I've always had a generator, a little 2,000-watt Honda.
Diesel.
No, it's not diesel.
Isn't it?
No.
Just gas?
Gas.
Oh.
So it's a little 2,000-watt Honda, which is a very nice little generator and quiet, and an inverter generator, puts out good power. But I have to leave it basically winterized because I don't use it. It can go for a year without being used because we just are not home and we don't have that many power outages. So I bought a DJI power bank. And this power bank is battery and it frequently called a solar generator, but of course it just stores electricity. But it's a 2,000-watt battery and it will power lots of things around the house because it has an inverter right connected to it. And it was on sale during Amazon Prime. So I got it just in time to use on this recent power outage, which was 9 hours. And as soon as the power went out, I was able to have power from the power bank, whereas if I had my generator, I'd have to run outside. I have to dewinterize it, power it up, and then make it run the cables and everything so that I'm planning on using this thing for short-term power outages if you have to plan for such things. So what I did was plug the refrigerator into it and our freezer in the basement into it, and it ran those for over 9 hours, which was the length of the power outage.
And to me, another advantage is that you could keep it in the house,
right,
where your gas generator you have to put outside and ventilate. Once again, we read articles about people who died of carbon monoxide poisoning during this power outage because their generators were too close to their air that they were breathing.
Exactly. And that these were RVers that we read about recently that had that died in their trailer because they had the exhaust near the window and it came in while they were sleeping. Should you get one of these, and what size? And that's always an issue. You know, if you're in an apartment, this is a nice way to have a 110 voltage during a power outage, at least for a limited amount of time. These days, you never know exactly how long the power is going to be out, but ours lasted long enough for us to not deplete the battery completely, although I did start the generator eventually when it got dark. But that I could do that at my leisure. I didn't have to do it quickly.
And we ran more stuff once it got dark.
And we were able to run more stuff, right? But if you have an apartment, this would keep your stuff running. And it has a lot of USB-C and USB connections, so you can keep your phones and stuff charged.
And as an apartment dweller, you're also worried about space. I would say it's the size of two toasters, maybe. The one we bought?
Oh, at least, yeah. And it weighs about 40 pounds.
Pretty heavy.
Yeah, they're pretty heavy, but they don't require much maintenance. And so you just charge it back up and you can put it back in the closet and it'll be there.
Put books on top of it.
And with lithiums, you don't have to worry about them self-discharging. So that's a good thing. So that when you do come to use it, it will be virtually 100% charged. You can figure any device's power consumption with this equation. Watts times hours used equals watt hours. So if your device uses 60 watts and you operate it for 8 hours, that's 480 watt hours of consumption. Ours has over 2,000 watt hours, so that we can run it for a good long time. Multiple devices. A lot of people are using CPAPs. And although we don't use this, it's keeping your CPAP running all night is a critical factor. And I have a nice article about using batteries to run your CPAPs. And if this is a concern, you need to have some sort of way to run your CPAP when the power goes out.
Another thing that we're concerned about is air conditioning, as climate change has made our country, all the world, hotter and hotter. When you think about RVing and being able to cool off your tin can at night when you want to go to sleep, you need reliable AC. And our ACs are old style and they're a little long in the tooth, and we're worried about how well they're going to serve us in the future and meet our needs. So for a long time, they weren't making anything new or different, and you just had to buy the same old, and we're happy to see that there's some news in the AC world.
And news in the AC world. As she says, the Penguins that we have on our motorhome now have been around for over 20 years. Our units are more than 10 years old, and these are air conditioners of the old style that when they're on, the compressor is running at full speed, and when they're off, the compressor is off. So the temperature inside your home or your motorhome or your RV of any kind of oscillates between cold when the air is coming out of the air conditioner cold and warm when the compressor is off. It cycles between whatever the thermostat will the parameters that are set into the thermostat. So this has been changing in the home world. You've been able to buy variable speed compressors for a long time, and we just replaced our unit at our Florida home, and it is a variable speed compressor, which means that it puts out the kind of cold that's necessary depending on how warm or hot the house is. So on hot days, it runs at a much higher capacity, and on cool days, it chills just a little bit, which is very efficient in terms of electricity, and it helps the unit be much more efficient in using electricity. But these have not been available in motorhomes until fairly recently.
Or our trailers, too, right? Trailers have the same.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean motorhomes. Yes.
RVs.
You're exactly right.
Sorts.
Every RV.
We're happy to read about the Coleman Mach Everest VS18 RV air conditioner, which is designed to fit in any standard RV roof that has a typical 14.5 by 14.5 inch hole. So you can buy this new Coleman Mach Everest and plug it into the space where your old AC has been letting you down. This is a great development and makes us feel happy that we just have to come up with a little money to get it fixed. get it replaced. And then I worry about the wiring attachments, yeah, which apparently that,
that's
going to
be one of the big issues. Also, we want to mention that Freon has the Chill Cube, which is another kind of – which is another model which has a similar specifications. I would say these two units are pretty comparable in performance. Anyway, I have some interesting articles here about these new air conditioning units. And the thing to remember is that if you are to replace the air conditioning unit, you don't necessarily need to replace it with exactly the same model that's in there.
These days you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, these days you probably shouldn't, exactly. And that if you are thinking about buying an RV new, that you want to check to see what kind of an air conditioner it has built in. Because if it doesn't have one of these new ones, you will probably want one in the not-too-distant future. And that's something that should be included in the new build, and you would hope that they would start to put them in. Also, the new ones, they have a higher capacity. They go from 15,000 BTUs to 18,000 BTUs, plus the fact that they have the soft start built in. Soft start makes it easier for you to run it off of solar and lower amperage input.
Over the years, we've had to replace or recharge our coolant every so often. Is that going to continue being an issue with these new styles?
As far as I know, none of these units, new or old, are serviceable.
So if it you have to buy a new one.
And the reason why that is I think so that non-technical people can replace them.
Mm-hmm.
So they just say don't bother to fix it because it's just too expensive to have somebody diagnose it. However, if you are a air conditioning technician, you can put the valves on it that you need to recharge it and maybe do that. If that does the trick,
yeah,
that's always the issue. Is it
why is it not working properly?
Coolant that needs to be replaced, or is it something else? Basically, they say these units are non-fixable. So two units, we now have the Coleman Mach and the Furion, the Chill Cube. So take a look at those if you are thinking about replacing your air conditioner.
In the last few years, it seems like we've been talking with high favorabilities about the Loves truck stops, and they seem to be thinking more and more about RVers. I would say that the campgrounds that some of them have, are not very cheap, but they are very convenient and have all the services that we need. And one time when we had a flat tire in Colorado, somebody from a Love station drove 80 miles out to us with a new one and put it on and rescued us. Of course, all you need is money, but we were happy that they were willing to serve the RV world, which is slightly different from...
And they had the tire that we needed.
From the 18-wheeler world.
Yeah.
So we have good things to say about them, and they have added more and more services for us at 275 locations around the country. Lube, oil and lube services, brake systems, some batteries and tires, electrical systems, suspension systems, and exhaust systems are now being covered, serviced by them for us. So kudos to Loves.
Yeah, we've been pretty impressed with how Loves is really working with the RV industry to provide services. I mean, these campgrounds have been quite nice,
yes.
And more companies or more and more of their locations are having camping sites. And now that you can have things serviced at Loves, they've always serviced trucks, but this is not something that's special for them. They just decided, I guess, that they can now handle RVs too, which is interesting. And definitely beneficial for us.
And they're located in many parts of the United States,
yeah.
Not everywhere, but
and
you're likely to find one.
It says you don't need an appointment. So select batteries and tires and electrical and, wow, trucks and pickup trucks. I don't know.
Maybe some of our listeners can tell us if they've had any experiences with this.
What their experiences have been. This is something that's definitely needed. And when we have had an emergencies, we've never had any issue, anything that could be helped by Loves.
Except that tire.
Yeah. But the tire, that was good. As a photographer who has thousands and thousands of pictures, how many pictures do you have on your phone?
I really don't know.
I have about 20,000.
I don't know.
And, of course, Being an Apple person, it's in Photos. And so Photos has some pretty good organizational tools, but I take thousands of pictures without the phone. I don't consider the phone to be a real high-quality camera, so I don't use it that often. Not that it's bad, but it just needs some work.
And, of course, people who use their phone as their main camera, then you start running into storage space problems, which I don't think is what you want to talk about at the moment, but people are suddenly having to delete photos so they can take more pictures.
Yes.
It's a problem.
And this article I have is called How to Organize 10,000 Photos Without Losing Your Mind.
Hard to imagine.
Yes. And I have almost 500,000 photos that are organized.
It's a never-ending task.
Yes. But I do take major steps to organize my pictures, and that is no joke. But I use a program that you might want to think about if you have a lot of pictures. And, of course, as I said, Photos does a decent job, but many people have either old photos or they have pictures that they've taken with other cameras that are not in the Photos app or in Google Photos or wherever, so that you have pictures in multiple locations, and that gets to be a real problem because then you lose track of them. I take all of my photos from the Photos app and put them into a program called Peekto, P-E-A-K-T-O, Peekto. And this program is designed to organize photos, and it works very well. You can take the pictures from – it automatically takes all the pictures from your Photos library or your Google library, and it automatically combines them with any folders that you have that contain pictures. And it also reads – the libraries of photo organizing programs, such as Lightroom Classic or Lightroom. And it takes them all and puts them into one location. The thing that I do is that I use Lightroom Classic to organize my photos on a yearly basis. But then I have a yearly catalog based on the current year.
And then I add to his nightmare because I also take pictures, some with my phone, some with cameras. And at the end of a trip, we try to combine our pictures into one library. And inevitably, I do something wrong. But we're working on it because the worst thing you can do is just to say to hell with it because the pile keeps growing.
So using Peekto, it reads all these libraries created by other applications and combines them into one library. It's not a photo editor, but it just lets you access the pictures in other libraries and combines them. I always put keywords with my pictures, which I think is critical, but Peekto also keeps track of the keywords so that I can type in, find all the pictures of Ken and Martha, and it will do it across multiple years and, frankly, across my entire library. It reads things like star ratings and other metadata ID features with different programs. So,
but it doesn't use AI stuff.
It has a lot of AI stuff in it. It will also identify pictures. Yes.
Find pictures of birds? Or
yes, it will do that too.
Uh-huh.
Any photo organization program these days has to have AI built in, and that's just part of the process. So you might want to take a look at Peekto if this is a problem for you. As a photographer, organization and finding pictures is just a constant hassle and something that you need to do if you have a lot of pictures. I enjoy taking a lot of pictures, and you need to be able to look back and find the pictures that you took, and you say, no, I took a picture there. And Peekto will find it almost always, so that's been a good process. And it doesn't use a lot of resources, so that you can put it on almost any computer, and it's portable. So I've just been very impressed with the way Peekto does its work, and it's been developed, and it's has more and more features as time goes along here. And, of course, backing up your pictures is also key. Pictures, digital pictures all the way back to the late 90s, and I would hate to lose those pictures. So I have backups, and Peekto doesn't automatically back up, but you can back up the libraries. I keep libraries off-site. I keep libraries on-site. I keep multiple copies of my libraries. So when I'm in Florida, I have one set of libraries. When I'm here, I have another set of libraries. But you have to keep them backed up. Man, cloud backup is good, but It is not usually big enough, so I have to have my own cloud backup. I'm kind of out of breath now.
Well, we've been talking a lot.
I know.
Does that mean we're done?
I think so.
Okay.
So will we be camping?
We had a reservation made for July, and we are afraid we have to cancel it. It's at the beach, and there's nothing less exciting than going to the beach wearing a black sling in the hot sunshine. So we said we're not going to the beach this month, but we were able to move it a little further down the summer into early fall. So we're going to go camping just as soon as I can. I'm a little better every day, and we're looking forward to hitting the road. This being at home stuff gets old after a while.
But summer in Chicago is nice, and we're going to look forward to having the best time that we possibly can.
Wherever we are.
Wherever we are. And, of course, we always like to hear from our listeners. And now we'll have plenty of time to answer any emails that you might want to send us. And you want to keep in touch and tell us what great times you're having.
This summer.
Yeah, because maybe you're going to Alaska, or maybe you're going to Nova Scotia, or maybe you're going to
a nearby state park to have a sleepcation.
Oh, have you had a sleepcation lately?
You just need to get away from it all, I think.
Yeah,
That's what really talking about.
As retirees, we don't value that much, but
we remember.
We remember, exactly. So, dear listener, we appreciate you listening and sharing with us, and we hope that you have a great summer, great July, and we will see you in August.
Bye for now. Happy travels.